Welcome to Faith and Freedom. For the next few minutes, we hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you as we discuss legal victories and challenges to your fundamental freedom and religious liberties. Faith and Freedom comes to you from Liberty Counsel, a civil liberties education and legal defense organization. Join us now as Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel, explains the latest legal issues all across this country. In the courtrooms of America, Liberty Counsel is winning the battle for your constitutional freedom.
Pastors and patriots, sometimes we don't think that those two words go together, but they were common ideas of the early American Revolution, and it is time that our pastors today also are great patriots. Hi, I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Our guest today is David Barton, founder and president of Wall Builders Ministry. And David, you have written a lot about pastors in the early American Revolution, in the Great Awakening and the American Revolution. A lot of times, sometimes pastors today and people think, well, pastors shouldn't be involved in politics. What was the view of the founding pastors and the founding fathers of this country?
Well, I do hear from pastors, we are not supposed to be involved in politics, and I have a few questions for them. So, all right, show me that in the Bible. Show me that in history, not just American history, just pastoral history. Show me pastors not involved. And by the way, how do you define politics? I saw most recently, and let me back up, there's a place called the Churches Impacting Culture, and they call between 500 and 600 churches every day. I mean, we have 370,000 churches in America. They call 500 to 600 a day. They ask them 7 simple questions. Do you believe the Bible addresses daily issues? Do you believe the Bible contains truth? Do you and your church believe the Bible addresses things like abortion and marriage? Do you think that Christians should be involved in the civil arena through things as voting? So 7 simple questions, no-brainers, I think, and only 1 out of 10 churches agrees with those 7 positions. Hmm. So we're talking only 1 out of 10 actually thinks that the Bible addresses marriage or abortion or anything else, or that Christians should actually be salt and light in the community. And then in that 10%, they then ask the pastors, all right, have you done a sermon on marriage or on life? Only 1 out of 3 pastors did. So what we find right now is only 3% of American churches even talk about marriage or talk about life. Now, that's a real problem, because the Bible talks about marriage and life. But I hear from pastors say, I don't cover marriage. That's a political issue. Time out. Genesis 1:3, that's marriage. That came, Jesus directly quotes that in Matthew 19. He says, hey guys, don't you remember at the beginning he made them male and female, and he didn't allow divorce, because they were asking Jesus about no-fault divorce. He said, no, God doesn't allow no-fault divorce. So marriage is a biblical issue. Life is a biblical issue. I mean, we can go through all sorts of Bible verses on that. And for people to say, and see what happens is government jumps in the middle of something, we say, oh, that's politics. No, homosexuality is not politics. The Bible dealt with that way back in Genesis, all the way since then. So the question I have for pastors is, what do you mean politics? Mm-hmm. Because what they're doing is saying, I'm giving away the Bible. I have a friend in Oklahoma who taught me something really cool. And she used to do this. She had really cheap Bibles that she would keep with her, just $1 a piece. And people would say things, oh, I don't believe that. She would reach in her purse, pull out the Bible, and start tearing pages out. And they go, what are you doing? Said, well, this is stuff you don't believe in. I'm going to give you a Bible you'll like. And that's what I would do with pastors. I'll just start tearing out the stuff on homosexuality, tearing out the stuff on marriage, tearing out the stuff on life. Here's a Bible you'll like. And that's the way we have thought and done. And quite frankly, where the church is today is not good. Only 3% of the church talking about things like life and marriage. We're told that there's a great passage in the King James in Isaiah 56. He says, my pastors are dumb dogs. Mm. And dumb means mute. They didn't speak. Because a watchdog is supposed to bark when danger comes. And his pastors had turned into where they weren't barking when danger comes. And that's where we are in America today. We're not barking at economic stuff. And by the way, I can show you in the Bible where Jesus himself addressed capital gains tax. He addressed minimum wage. You have the Bible addressing progressive income taxation versus capitation taxation. All that's in the Bible. And we're thinking, oh, that's politics. No, debt, it's a government issue, but the Bible dealt with debt before government ever had debt. So all these are biblical issues, and what's happening is we're not barking at the danger that's coming at our people. Jesus said that's a hireling who runs away when he sees the wolf. And so now, having set where we are right now, let me go back to the founding era. In 1818, 42 years after the American Revolution, a young historian, Hezekiah Niles, went to old man John Adams, who was an old man, and said, hey, we weren't there, but we're enjoying what we got now. I mean, what you guys did to create this nation, stability, prosperity, we love it. Tell me who's responsible. And John Adams, being asked who's responsible for the revolution, he said, well, you got the Reverend Dr. Samuel Cooper, you got the Reverend Dr. Jonathan Mayhew, and preachers, starts listing preachers. You know, there's no way we'd do that today. Even Clinton Roster, he was a historian from a previous generation. He's from Cornell University. They have the Clinton Roster Endowed Chair of History at Cornell University. He did a book called Seed Time of the Republic, and he went and showed that the six greatest influences in shaping America, four of the six were preachers. So we don't get that at all today. But I own literally, we have about 100,000 documents from before 1812 that we own at Wall Builders. I have thousands of their sermons. And I'm an ordained minister. I've preached tons. And I've never thought about sermons like they did. They thought the Bible applied to every aspect of life. You know, how crazy is that? Their sermons on solar eclipses. And I don't know what verse I would choose on that, but I read the sermon, and it turns out the book of Amos is filled with references to eclipses. And so they had a solar eclipse, and they said, hey, that's in the news. Let's talk about it out of the pulpit. Their sermons on the laying of the transcontinental cable. I thought, why would you do that? And they said, well, the Bible talks about communication technology. Let's talk, because that was new communication, new technology. There's a sermon on railroads. And again, I don't know what verse I'd use, but they said, no, railroads is part of transportation. Look at what God says about transportation in the Bible. They have sermons on the opening of bridges because the Bible's filled with architecture and building codes and all sorts of stuff. I mean, it's just blows me away to see what they talk about. And even when we talk about things like revival with George Whitefield, his sermons don't match what we think a revival is supposed to be. And part of that is theological. You have to remember that back in their day, even the Baptists were Calvinistic. Everybody was Calvinistic. So a revival wasn't, let's get people brought to Jesus. A revival was, you need to live the Word of God. A revival was getting people to be practical. So you look at Whitefield's sermons and what he preached. I mean, Whitefield, we call the father of the American military. He came up with our first military banner, our first flag. When we got the Stamp Act done, Congress sent two people to Great Britain to argue against the Stamp Act, and one of them was the Reverend George Whitefield. Well, what does he know about economics? Well, the Bible talks about economics. He knew it really well. So you look at the Great Awakening, the revival, it was simply preachers making the Word of God relevant to everything that went on in life. And man, today we won't even talk about those things, and that's a real change.
Listening to your talk about the founders and the pastors particularly and their respect for the Bible and how it influenced every aspect of their culture reminds me of visiting a museum where I went through and saw the blood of the martyrs, and actually a Bible that had a blood of a martyr on it. And from going through that to the very final exhibit, coming to a modern home where the TV and the radio is on and a lot of different versions of the Bible are on the shelf, but they're there.
They're there.
And we don't read it. But they read it and they applied it to everything. And pastors obviously were very involved in life, which included the political realm, because that meant everything.
Well, the average American home owns 4.4 Bibles. The problem we have is Christians. 95% of Christians have never read the Bible through from cover to cover once in their life. And that includes a lot of pastors. They've never read the full book cover to cover. So they own a number of copies. They haven't read it from cover to cover, and they need to, because it does apply to life. You're told in Malachi 2:7 that the people, when they want to know about the law, sorry, Dean, they don't go to the law school and ask the dean. They go to the preacher and ask the preacher, because it was the preacher who knew so much about the law. That's why if you look even at the writing of the U.S. Constitution, how many theologians were part of the Convention of Delegates, Constitutional Convention. You look at the only constitution in the world that is older than the American Constitution is the Massachusetts Constitution. It's written by a bunch of preachers. Gad Hitchcock and Samuel Stillman and Robert Treat Paine. And I mean, preachers were in the middle of the civil arena. They wrote so many of the state constitutions. And that's a real difference from where we are today. But because God gives 613 civil laws in the Bible, I think if you study the Bible, you'll be aware of civil law. But we just don't do that anymore.
Well, it is time for pastors to speak up. Pastors in their sermons provided the fuel of the American Revolution. Liberty Council has a outreach to pastors called Pastors and Patriots. And part of that, we have a DVD called Silence is Not an Option. And we're sending that around the country to pastors to be able to educate pastors about what they can do. The IRS is often used as an excuse for pastors not to get involved. But that's a bogus myth, and we address that in the DVD. You can ask for the DVD by calling 1-800-671-1776 or go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. I also encourage you to order the book Original Intent by David Barton. It's one of my favorite books, a book that I think should be in every library in this country. It is a book that talks about the pastors and the patriots that ultimately gave their lives and gave birth to this country, the greatest nation on the planet. Go to Liberty Counsel's website to order the book and much more at lc.org. That's lc.org. You can also call us at 800-671-1776.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. We can accomplish a lot when we work together. Get informed and get involved today. Sign up for our free monthly newsletter, The Liberator. We will send it out to you free of charge. Stay informed with our Liberty Alert email updates. Just click on the website at www.lc.org or call us at 1-800-671-1776. Tune in next time to learn more about your rights right here on Faith and Freedom.